We get on the telephone line and welcome in Maine's reigning Sports Writer of the Year from the Portland Press-Herald. Travis Lazarchik joins us. Travis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You had Bob Ryan on and a George Carlin segment. I can't compete with either of those things.
Oh, I know better. I know better than that. You made another deep run. You've become a force to reckon with in our silly little Downtown Madness competition every year.
Yeah, when it comes to March, I show up.
That's the name of the game right there. Well, you've been showing up in Orono, too, to check out the Maine Black Bear football team.
Yeah.
First preseason for new head coach Jordan Stevens. What's been your overall impression so far?
Well, I've only been to two practices so far, opening day on Thursday last week and then on Tuesday morning. Looks like a lot of guys just kind of fighting for spots, particularly on offense, where there's some wide-open wide receiver positions to be had.
Yeah, and the other thing I've heard from a whole lot of people in the program up there is that they've been impressed, among several things, with Jordan Stevens' level of organization.
Yeah, he's a guy who just kind of, he's a stickler for the details. He said he learned that from Jack Cosgrove, who he played for at UMaine and then coached under for four seasons. He said, you know, when he was coaching with Jack, he had a front row seat sitting right next to him in their coaching meetings. He paid attention to everything Jack did, right down to the way he held his pen. So it shouldn't be a surprise that Jordan's got, you know, every last minute of practice planned out.
Sounds like, too, especially in terms of the defense, he's going to be pretty hands-on as a former defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and a former all-conference defensive end for UMaine on some good teams that went to the NCAA playoffs, I think his junior season. He's going to be right in the middle of all of it. He wants them to be aggressive and fast. They have to be because, you know, Rich, they really need more pressure on the quarterback, only getting, I think, 12 sacks last year and 10 hurries. And got to get that pressure on the quarterback so he doesn't have time to throw. And guys eventually get open if you don't get that pressure. So I think we're going to see a quicker, more aggressive defense out of the Black Bears this season.
Yeah, you know, I think that's always been the strength of the Black Bears. When they've made those playoff runs, it's been built on that aggressive black hole defense. And when they've been most successful, what I've seen is it's been a high-risk, high-reward type of defense, and I feel like Jordan's going to bring that back.
Yeah, that's the kind of defense that he played on those teams in the late 2000s, so I think that's what we're going to see out of him.
Any questions, lingering roster questions, starting position questions going forward into the first scrimmage next week?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I think who's going to step into those receiver spots is still wide open with Andre Miller and Devin Young both gone. You're going to see, you know, guys like Xavier Scott, Tego Moss, some newcomers like Tyrese Baptiste and true freshman Rohan Jones. Michael Monius is back. I think tight end Sean Bowman is going to be a little more involved in the passing game this year. So I think those kind of things will start to become more apparent as they scrimmage a little bit.
The league, once again, this year looks very deep. Four teams picked in the preseason top 20. I still think Rhode Island is the most overrated college football team in America, but I understand how the polls work. But top to bottom, the CAA as good as anybody this year and going forward, going to get even stronger. It's interesting to watch the FCS do some of the things we're seeing at the FBS level. It feels like we're headed toward maybe a handful of super conferences.
Yeah, you're seeing Hampton and Monmouth join the CAA this year, North Carolina A&T next year. Who'd have thought that a conference loses a program like James Madison is probably just as strong as ever with, you know, still programs like Villanova and Delaware and places like that. This is certainly a tough league. Just because Madison's gone does not mean things get easier for anybody.
We're talking with Travis Lazarchik here on Downtown. Maine on the hunt for a new athletic director. Were people caught by surprise by the announcement that Ken Ralph was leaving?
I certainly was. I didn't think this was coming because he's been so active in the fundraising for the new athletic facilities that are starting to be built, the hiring of some new coaches in the last year to 18 months. Well, his contract was up, and it sounded like he was ready for a different challenge, and he's going back to a conference he's familiar with. It's Division III, but it's a place he knows in Southwestern University, so best of luck to Ken.
Already some rumblings about who might become an interim athletic director. Have you heard anything?
No. I talked to President Farini Monday the other day, and she said she had a couple names in mind but wasn't ready to announce anything yet. I imagine we'll be hearing it soon. I know they want to get someone in place and then start the process to find Ken Rouse's successor.
I do know she's meeting with one of the candidates for the interim position tomorrow, but I think there may be others they want to talk to as well. In terms of long-term, this is, I think you reported the other day, this is the fourth athletic director at Maine in the last decade. Do they want someone who's going to be here for a while, or are they content, much as they are with their coaching staff, to have this be a launching pad for people?
Well, that's a good question. It's always seemed to be been a launching pad, hasn't it? And right now there's, you know, a lot of things, a lot of projects that need that guiding hand. Maybe someone who could stay through that, I would think they would want. But, you know, once they have all these facilities built and some things in place and some stabilization there, then maybe it would be a place where people can move on from, like have happened in the past.
Now, I've heard the name Brian Garrity mentioned, a guy who apparently was in the running before, a native Mainer down at Mercer now.
I remember Brian in his playing days at Marana Cook High School.
Yeah, I've heard that he's interested. Whether the university would have interest in him, I don't know. Seth Woodcock's name often comes up, who's already an associate athletic director and, of course, is a Mainer as well. Do you think they'll try and find somebody who might be able to stay here for more than just a 3 or 4 year contract?
Yeah, well, I think first thing, you want somebody who's got the Division I experience, and then you want somebody who knows what they're getting into coming to Orono, Maine, like they've hired with these recent coaching hires. They've hired alumni who know the school, know what it takes to be successful there. So an alum or someone from Maine like a Garrity would be a good fit. We've already seen it with, you know, like Jordan Stevens in football and Amy Vachon for a few years now, women's basketball, now Chris Markwood in men's basketball. You want someone who has that connection with the university.
You mentioned the hires that Ken Ralph has made, but I suspect his legacy at the university will be the campus facilities improvement projects. What's the status of those? I have people ask me all the time, and I'm certainly not sure. When are we going to notice things happening on campus?
If you were to go up there now, you'd see the new softball facilities starting. They're working on that right now. What Ken told me on Monday when I talked to him is the field hockey and soccer facilities are going before the Board of Trustees soon to make sure that that's all financed and paid for and has the go-ahead. And then, you know, we're going to see in a year or two, hopefully, the improvements at Alfond Arena. And then, you know, finally, the new multipurpose facility that will be the home to the men's and women's basketball teams.
So is this first phase of work to correct some Title IX disparities?
It seems to be, yeah.
Interesting in that. And, of course, the announcement made recently that women's basketball will be returning to the Pit for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, the Pit's going to be rocking for more than just a few playoff games. It's cozy, but I like it. I like the noise. I think it's the perfect size for the crowds they get. I think it'll be a good temporary home for this season anyway. And, you know, hopefully they can get down to a new facility in a few years. But that's probably going to be the last of these new projects that gets finished.
Travis, it's not on the UMaine beat, but quite a story with this Bangor Little League team, a win away from going to Williamsport.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really follow them that much, but I know it's rare for a Maine team to get to Williamsport. I'm trying to think the last one might have been that Westbrook team maybe 15 years ago or so, if not far longer. I know I went down years ago to Bristol to cover the Augusta Little League team when they made it to the New England Finals. So good luck to Bangor. That would be quite the feat. And then we have the Cal Ripken World Series going on in Waterville at the Wrigley Field there right now.
Right. That's good stuff all around. Travis, hey, it's great talking with you. As always, we appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you on the sidelines and up in the booth this coming season.
All right. Anytime, Rich. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Travis. Travis Lazarchik from the Portland Press-Herald talking UMaine sports with us here on Downtown.